Do you ever feel like you're on a hamster wheel, working long hours but still not getting anywhere? And you do it because hard work equals lots of money, right? But no, not necessarily. Today I'm chatting with Katie Moriarty about creating abundance by doing less and working from a true flow state. In other words, attracting abundance in all aspects of your life. In regards to your money, your happiness, your health, and your family and friends, and achieving it all with minimal energy, effort, and time. Katie is a living example of someone achieving exactly this, working only 5 to 10 hours per week and living an abundant life. I personally have a lot to learn from her. So you don't have to burn the candle at both ends and be forced to put your business ahead of you and your family. You don't have to park your mental health at the station while you ride the train to success. Your success should be driven by a healthy mental state. This episode is part of my mental health related series in recognition of Mental Health Month. If you're only seeing darkness right now, I want you to know that the lightness is just up ahead. If you need further support, please reach out to wonderful organizations like Lifeline, Beyond Blue, or the Black Dog Institute, because you deserve to be happy. Let's dive into the episode. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I help business owners just like you overcome their fear of failure and find the courage within to step up, show up, and make an impact on the world while also living a lucrative life and reaching their full potential. And I do this through strategic marketing advice and engaging conversational copywriting at Right Time Marketing. So feel free to book in a free 30-minute discovery call with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Katie Moriarty. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, me too. So Katie is a quantum healer and coach working with women to help them expand and shift into their most radiant expression in life and business. So having always been fascinated by the world of manifestation, healing and quantum upgrades, Katie decided to quit her successful corporate career and travel the world to immerse herself further into learning about these areas. Through following her soul and implementing the practices she now teaches, Katie created a thriving soul-aligned business doing what she most loved. She believes that by awakening and activating the divine feminine magnetism within, we're able to merge with the highest version of ourselves and create heaven on earth. It is her deepest love and joy to see women own their truth and live a life of deep fulfillment, abundance, and freedom. And I just love that. It's absolutely beautiful. And so I'm really looking forward to our chat. Like Katie and I, we just met via LinkedIn randomly. I can't remember who initially reached out to who, but we started a little voice clip conversation, which went backwards and forwards, and it led to a 30-minute chat and now a podcast chat. Yeah. So I'm really glad we connected, and I love Katie's energy, and I'm sure you will too. So yes, enough for me. Katie, can you please share a little bit more about you and your business journey?
Yeah, for sure. It's such an interesting story and something that I talk about often, but I did work in real estate actually for 13 years before I started this business. And so I went into that because I wanted to make money and I wanted to have some level of freedom and flexibility. And to me, it was kind of in my family and it just made sense. It was like, okay, I'll go and do that. I can, you know, work in my own time and there's an unlimited amount of income and all of that appealed to me. And I started when I was 18. And so I did real estate sales for 13 years consistently. And for several years, although I loved some aspects of it, like the people and, you know, there were certain things about the job I really loved, it just felt like to me I had a deeper calling and a deeper purpose, and I had a huge amount of resistance to actually tapping into what that was, because to me it felt like a lot of things were going to change in my life if I was willing to open that door. And so it kind of just got to a point where I was really clear that I wasn't passionate about real estate anymore, and it wasn't my future. And the pain of not chasing my dreams became much greater than the fear of what would happen if I took that leap of faith. And I just couldn't live with it anymore. I was like, I have to go and pursue this. And I'd spent so much time invested in this career that it was really hard to make peace with the fact that it was okay that I'd done that for a time and it had served me, but it wasn't my forever thing. Like, I think that was part of my difficulty in letting go, was like, then does it mean that I was wrong to do this for so long?
Did I waste time? Like, was that, right. Yeah.
And so a lot of the time I think that stops us from moving forward onto something new, because we're like, what does it mean about all the time I've just invested and all the energy I've put into this and the identity I've attached to it? So I really kind of had to make peace with that. And I had a day where I was just walking around Centennial Park, which is this big park in Sydney. And I was literally like, if you tell me what my purpose is, I'll go and do it. I don't care how crazy it is. I surrender. Like, I'll do whatever it takes. And so, I kind of got this very clear, intuitive nudge that I needed to quit my job, not try and figure it out in my job, and go on a trip and kind of find myself and go traveling for a year. And so I did quit my job. I packed up everything, sold everything, and booked my tickets to Europe. And then right before I left on this trip, this quantum healing certification popped up, an advertisement for it, and it was in Costa Rica. And it was the same dates I was leaving for my Europe trip, and just every part of my being was like, you have to go to this thing. And so it made no logical sense to me at the time. I'd been very invested in spirituality and healing for a long time before this, studying it. I traveled all over the world to try different, you know, healers, and it was my obsession, but I wasn't expecting to necessarily teach it myself. And so, yeah, I felt a very strong pull. So I changed my whole trip. I flew to Costa Rica, went out into the middle of the jungle with 40 people from all over the world, and I got this certification in quantum healing. And that was really just the beginning, because from there, you know, lots of things changed and shifted in my life, but that kind of opened a doorway to a whole new world. And through that, I found that, the passion and obsession I had for healing and the quantum world and energy work, it kind of just all tied together so beautifully for me. And I was like, cool, this is my new thing.
Love that. And so, yeah, okay, so you kind of touched on it. So you were spiritual anyway when you worked in real estate.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. But was it a big part of your life? Like, were you using like manifestation to get sales and things like that in the business? Yeah. Like, yeah, is that how you used it?
Yeah, so it was a massive part of my life. And so this whole, I kind of went through a spiritual awakening, dark night of the soul is what they call it, in 2015. And I was working in real estate in Brisbane. I was doing a huge amount of hours. I was doing really well and making lots of money. And I found myself in a really toxic, narcissistic relationship. I was completely burnt out from my career. I was only 27 at the time. And, I would just have this punishing routine of like extreme working out, you know, extreme work hours, you know, then add in like a really unhappy relationship. And I got adrenal fatigue and I was completely bedridden for 3 months. Like,
oh, wow. 3 months.
Jeez. Yeah. Like, could not get out of bed for 3 months. I'd like to crawl to the bathroom basically. And yeah, so I had a good long period to really like assess my life and be like, what am I doing to myself? My body has given up basically. And the road to recovery from the adrenal fatigue was actually a lot longer than the 3 months. But through this, I started studying healing more on a physical level initially, but then it became like mental, emotional, and metaphysical, energetic. And so I moved to Sydney to have a fresh start in my life. And when I did, I started seeing this healer that a friend recommended. And this was my first real experience in it, because I'd grown up in a household where was quite strict religious wise, and so any kind of this kind of work was sort of very much frowned upon. And so I went to this healer, and in my first appointment with her, she literally looked at me and she was like, "You're going to be a healer one day. You're going to be a very powerful healer." And I was like, "I absolutely am not. You're crazy."
So different to what you're doing. What? From real estate to healing? Yeah, okay.
But I was like, "I'm fascinated by it, but I can't see myself ever doing this. I don't have the gifts. I don't know how to do this." And to me, it was just something that if I was a healer, I would have been doing it my whole life. And, so it was through that process of kind of like learning how to heal myself energetically and on a metaphysical level that I got really tapped into manifestation and intuition and all of these sorts of things. And so I shifted, you know, like where previously in my real estate career, I'd been working like crazy hours, and it made me feel validated to work 80 hours a week to earn the money. I started to implement these these different mentalities into my business. And so it got to a point not that long before I left where I'd really mastered the art of like manifestation, like, you know, through raising my frequency, I attracted great clients that were really beautiful sellers to work with, and buyers, like everything, you know, I would list everything, and I won so many listings. My company was like, "How are you doing this? You're like hardly ever in the office." And I'm like, "Great, I'm at home with my crystals meditating." But like,
you can't tell them that. None of them would get it.
Yeah, it was really lucky, really lucky. I was kind of like really closeted with this spirituality. Like everyone knew, and they're like, "You're kind of the weird girl with the crystals in her pockets," but no one knew the extent at which, like, to which I was actually at home really delving into this world of like mystery and healing and manifestation and creation. And so it was like something that I implemented, and I made like so many sales, and I was doing way less work than everyone else, and it just happened, and people would be like, "It's just like magic." And that's exactly how it felt. And so I managed to purge a lot of these patterns and beliefs around, you know, needing to validate the money through physical exertion, or like, you know, doing the hours and doing the grind before I went on my trip. And I feel like that really served me when I set up my business, because I was no longer clinging to like, "Oh, if I'm not working 60 hours a week or 80 hours a week or constantly on my computer, I don't deserve to do well at this." I'd kind of already shifted that before I started the business.
Yeah, it's so true. And you know, like the whole with the word busy being glorified these days, and it does. I did listen to a podcast the other week, and I know I always talk about podcasts I listen to, but I do listen to a lot. And it was like, yeah, you get in this mindset that you have to work hard to deserve money, or the only way to bring in lots of money to be really abundant is to work overtime. And look, I've always made it a thing. I don't work weekends. I don't work nights. I don't mind doing, if I need to catch up on something, it might be a bit of admin, but I say 9 o'clock is my cutoff, 8 to 9 after the kids are in bed, or I get up early and I do it, but I'm not doing any more than that. But I know I could even cut back more, like after we were chatting, but it's because, you know, people, it's just ingrained from many years ago when, you know, in a factory, the more hours you put in, the more work's produced. But with technology these days, that doesn't correlate to more work means more results and products and money. It doesn't relate to that way. But we're still thinking that old school way of you must work hard to bring in the money.
Totally. And that's how conditioning works. You know, if you think about it, like from my perspective, it's like, this is belief systems that are deeply ingrained in the collective consciousness, and it gets handed down generationally. And like, I know that my grandma, bless her, still to this day says to me, "So like, are you okay? Are you earning money?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm really good. My business is going really well." And she's like, "What do people pay you for?" And like, for her, it's like, unless you're going to work with a job where you got a degree and you work this many hours a week, how on earth are you possibly surviving financially? And so that does, like, from a, you know, a more energetic perspective, these things that are within our family line, they do get handed down through the DNA. And so we are the receivers of like these beliefs and patterns and experiences and traumas that our ancestors may have had. And that's why, to me, the energetic work is so important, because it's not until you tap into that on all those different levels beyond our physical being do you truly free yourself. And that mentality, like one of my mentors likes to talk about it, is like kind of a slave mentality. It's like, you know, just whipping yourself like you're a slave to earn all of these things that inherently are actually kind of your birthright. So, taking back that power within yourself and giving yourself permission to know that you don't need to to earn anything based on that old mentality and way of doing things is super important.
Yeah. So how many days, hours do you work a week now typically?
So at the moment I would work between 5 and 10 hours a week. In my first year in business, it's a new business. And as I get, you know, I do more, I will get busier. But I structure it in a way that it really suits my lifestyle. And so, between 5 and 10 hours a week, I tend to work in seasons as opposed to consistently. So it's like I'll do a product launch, and so I'll be in a launch period. Like at the moment I'm in a launch period for my upcoming program, which starts in January, which means everything I'm doing between now and then is simply preparing that program, enrolling people into the program. So it's not work as such. It's kind of like my joy to like bring people into this program and to, you know, do a few webinars to let them know what it's about. But then when that starts, that's, you know, 3 months of work with them, and the hours are minimal. Like it might only be 1 to 2 hours a week, but the energetic space that I'm holding is larger, and so therefore that's my focus for that amount of time. And I'm not looking to take on so many more things than that to make me feel justified in what I'm doing. It's like that's my focus for now, and then when that finishes I might have two months where I'm not working at all, and I'm very comfortable with that. I'm not stressed about the fact that there's big periods of time where I don't have to do a lot of work.
Yeah. So I mean, just to work 5 to 10 hours in a week and do well is just like mind blowing for me. Like it's just like, oh, you mean that's possible? What? So you only ever have one project on the go. You don't have multiple little things going. It's always the one thing.
Yeah, I can have more than one, and like as I launch this current program, I'm already developing the next one, and then so there's some creativity that goes into that, and then I'm like dealing with my designer and organizing things, but it's not hugely time consuming. I really do it in a way where like I have heaps of free time, and so I structure my diary so that I will only take appointments, do webinars, do anything in a 4-day period. I have at least 3 days where I do not work, and that's just what suits me. And I don't have children and all that sort of stuff, so it'll be different circumstances. But I do believe that structuring whatever you can within your life so it suits your schedule is actually really important. And again, I think a lot of people have this belief of like, you know, it's a bit of a scarcity mentality. It's like, I'm in business and, oh, a client comes in, or a potential client, or, you know, someone may want to work with me, and I'll bend over backwards and I'll make break promises to myself where I was going to have this day off, and then, oh, but this person might want to work with me, so I'll book it in. I just don't do that. I have like full abundance mentality where I'm like, if this is meant to happen, I know it will happen and it will be ease and flow for both of us. It doesn't mean I don't want the business. I do. It's just that, you know, I honor my own time and my own space, and I find that the people that like then want to work with me, they reflect that back to me and they honor it as well. So yeah.
Yeah. And I just had to, like today, for example, there was a deadline and I'm like, look, just thinking to myself, I'm just going to be pushing myself so hard to meet this deadline. I'm not going to be, it's, you know, a copywriting job. I won't be able to give my best work. So I said, I'm just going to be honest, say, look, this won't meet the deadline. It's going to look, I know it was a deadline by the website designer, not by the client. The client's more open, and obviously they're the priority, right? They're the ones who are driving the whole thing. So I thought, look, who's putting the pressure on me here, them or me? And I realized it was more me. So I just, yeah, just said, look, while the designer's away for a couple of weeks, we'll work on the copy, because a couple of weeks is a lot more reasonable than one day to get it done. So I think it's just, yeah, being mindful of that pressure you put. And I was saying to you just before we started recording how I got sick recently, thankfully just hay fever, but you know, it made me stop and reflect, because I had been pushing my marketing, doing a lot of videos and things, almost in that lack mindset of going, oh, I have to push down because nothing's happening. And then I decided, well, I'm sick now. Okay, I'll take this as a sign, as I have to step back and have a break. And then this last week, it's just, I've been abundant, like the amount of leads have come in this week when, because I let go, it's just, I forget, but you know. But yeah, I'd love to hear, what's your definition of abundance? Since I've already been talking about it, but how do you define it?
I love talking about this because I think when people hear the term abundance, they're automatically thinking money and financial wealth. And that's a big part of it for me. Like, I love money. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's lots of things that you can do with money. And for me, it's just, you know, it's an energy and I love it. It's playful, it's fun, and I enjoy the things I can do with it. But, you know, I have a very holistic approach to abundance personally. And this is just my what works for me. And for me, abundance is, like we were just talking about, it's an abundance of health, and it's also an abundance of time, and it's an abundance of love and, you know, playfulness and friendship and connection and joy. And so if I'm not, you know, having all of these things in my life, I can't feel like I'm the highest version of myself. And so it's sort of like, I go back to when I was in real estate, I remember saying to people, I feel like a rat on the wheel. Like, I'm literally, and there's lots of money coming in, but I'm just a rat on the wheel, turning over, making more sales. And there's so many things I'm missing out on. And I spent my whole 20s like in that career where I was committed to that work for what? Like, and there was all these things I really wanted to do. Like, I wanted to travel the world, and that's why I got into the job. And then I never traveled because I was always too busy. And when I did travel, it was incredibly stressful because I would have a team back home, or I would, like, you know, someone else would have to manage my stuff, and it was just not the same. And so these are all these like conditions that we place on our success. And so now the way I look at it is, it's like I said, if I, you know, for me, it's important to have plenty of time throughout the week. The work I do now is different. So I do a lot of channeling, and I do a lot of holding energetic space for people in my work. So I need big spaces of time where I'm just in flow, where I'm, you know, in my joy, because that's when I receive inspiration and downloads, and that's when I recharge my batteries. But there was a time in my life a few years ago where I looked at my life, and this was after all my burnout and everything, and I was like, I'm not living my purpose. I'm not surrounded by amazing friends that match where I'm at in my life. Like, I'm feeling a bit lonely, if I'm being honest. I'm not dating anyone. I am not earning as much money as I would like to be for the amount of time output that I'm doing. And I was like, I'm in scarcity in lots of areas at the moment. And I was like, what would my ideal life look like? Like, how much time would I have to myself each week? How many friends would I have? What would I be doing? And so I kind of like crafted out this vision of this abundant reality. And I was like, okay, so everything that's not in alignment with that now needs to go, because that's the only way I'm going to get there. And so that was kind of how I created this lifestyle that I'm living now, which to me feels like my most aligned, happiest, enjoyable lifestyle.
That's so cool. And you a journaler or a vision boarder? Which one do you prefer? Or both?
I love them all. But I don't do a huge amount of journaling. I'll do it when, like, I'm constantly reevaluating like my vision for my life, and I tend to speak affirmations. So I have at the beginning of the day, like I have a few, I set up my morning really well. There's one thing that I do, which is that I don't really look at my phone, and I'll spend an hour in my own space kind of looking at my own stuff. And I know everyone can't do that, but if you've got 5 minutes, I think it's so important to just connect with like how you're setting up your day visually and otherwise. But, you know, I speak mantras out loud, and I have a Pinterest board that's full of everything that I want to do in my life. And so I'll flip through that for inspiration often. And I'm constantly just re-evaluating. It's like a delicate dance, I feel, between creating this vision of the future that I really want to live and being excited and inspired by it, and not being attached to it. Like, because when you're too attached to these things, you get into frustration and scarcity and lack, because you're looking at what's not, what you don't have, and what's not going right. And to me, that's not abundance. So I spend a lot of my day where I'm like, what's going fantastically about my life? What do I love about my life? What's better now than it was 2 years ago? And like, what am I so grateful for? And then from that place, when I'm in that energy, I'm like, and what am I creating for the future? And what would be amazing if you know, if this happened and this happened? And it's kind of a very playful, light energy, and it's very different from the way I used to do things.
Yeah, like wanting and desiring, which, yeah, that's that sense of lack.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm probably the same. I'm always, because I'm naturally a positive thinker person, that's how I refer to myself. But I naturally, think about things I'm grateful for all the time. And just yesterday, I was just running with my 4-year-old in my arms. Her hair was out, flowing in the wind. She was giggling because we can't, you know. And I had that little moment, like, savoring this moment, you know. And I'm very mindful of doing things like that, because otherwise life just spurs past you. And even I think I have been guilty in the past. I think it was probably before COVID, where I was forced for a little bit to really bond with the kids, mm-hmm. Because otherwise it's like, oh, you know, the weekends and, I really need the break. So kids, go entertain yourselves. And, you know, I wouldn't really spend that really good quality time with them. But then when I had to during lockdown, for example, and I really got to know them, and I was like, oh my gosh, I really was just kind of on autopilot with the mum stuff a little bit. And so now I'm really like, no, I'm very mindful of that, and going, no, I'm going to be in that moment with my kids. And that's why I made the decision, you know, a few months back, that because I was working only 4 days and having Mondays off for my little one, but because I was just watching the time, it was errand filled, it was stressful, I'm like, this isn't serving me or her. She's better off having more time at preschool that day and me working myself and my business. And I can always pull back that, you know, that other day at some point, or one of the days when the grandparents babysit, have a day off and you know, just spend more time with her too. But, you know, it made me realize then I'll really value the time on the weekends, not just thinking, oh, I've got Monday with her, and then I'm not really having that time.
Okay. So, yeah. That story about your daughter is so beautiful, because like, that's presence. And to me, being present is how we actually enjoy our life and create more. And most of us, like you said, are on autopilot. When we're on autopilot, we're not noticing and appreciating, we're not present. And then, so what are you doing? Like, are you really living?
No. And you think of like the movie Click, where he goes on autopilot and he skips all these things because it's all about work, and then he just misses his whole kids' lives. And so I'm such a, I always cry in that movie. But okay, so how can we start attracting more abundance in our lives? What are your tips and strategies for manifestation? What do you do, and just the abundance in general?
I think it's super important to, as I say, for me, this is a process, because you've got to do this inner work, and it's on multiple levels. So you work with the mind, you work with the body, you work with your energetic field, you do the energy work. But for abundance, the quickest way to manifest more of what you want is to truly connect with what you've already got. And so it's like, if you want to manifest a partner, look at all the love that's in your life. If you want to manifest more money, have a look at how blessed you already are, and look at how much you've already got. And I think we're so conditioned in this human experience to want more, and feel like we're not enough and we're not worthy, that we're constantly looking, refer to the black dot on the white piece of paper. So there's all of this beautiful, all of this happening, and we're focused on this, we're zeroed in on this one thing that's not right or that we're missing. And so we're just manifesting and creating on autopilot. Speaking of autopilot, we are manifestation machines. That is what we are. And so every waking thought, every word, every belief, that's creating our reality. And so it's turning your attention, if you want to shift things. And that's what I was saying about that period in my life where I sat there and I was like, I don't have any friends, I'm lonely in this new city, I don't have the money I want, I don't have any time, there's so many things that aren't right. Every minute that I keep looking at this and thinking that focusing on what's not there is going to change it is madness. If I'm going to spend every moment that I can with my awareness on what I have that's going really well. I have a healthy body. I have my own apartment. I have running hot water in my shower. I can't tell you the amount of times I would get in the shower and be like, oh, I have really good hot water. So many people in the world don't have this. I'd have my morning coffee on my way to work, and I'd have 5 minutes of just presence. And I'd be like, I'm so grateful that I have the abundance to buy this coffee and be in this moment and be like, oh, the sun is shining. I feel good. And so, although it's back to basic, simple sort of stuff that we all know, we just forget and we do get caught up in the routine. And so for me, it's like, what can you look at that you can currently appreciate, and your attention on it will expand it like 100%.
Yes. Oh, I love that so much. And I've got, you know, it's coming from a family where my dad, you know, always think negative, and yeah, because you think one bad thought then attracts other bad thoughts, and then just it spirals. And I was just thinking, my brother is currently looking at going for this dream job for him, and I've been saying, go for it, you know, do more though, do like a video cover letter, like show that you really want it. And then I was saying to him, and visualize that you've already got it, you know, map out the timetable, the trains you get, or how you're going to get there. And I said, just act like it's yours. And so I've used this kind of strategy before to make things happen with manifestation. And then he started telling me like the next day, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get there. It's a bit hard, far to get there. And I just said, no, just don't like, sure, maybe you have to do an hour and a half commute. You just watch Netflix and chill out during that time. But think of what, like, it'll be worth it, right? And then I was like, any objection, just send my way. Because I know that he'll otherwise like spiral into doubting whether he should even go for it or it's even right for him before it's even begun. Yeah. So, yeah. So I've said to him, it may sound silly, but do this whole visualization thing. Like, really, it's so many opportunities in my life have come up. And like my house that I'm in now, I had written down my ideal house, and then 2 days later walked into this one, and I think it was like 80% or 85% of what was on my list was in this house, down to like two shower heads in the shower, like a double shower, and manicured backyard and an island in the kitchen. I think the only things that were different were like things like a spa bath out the back, which we can easily put out there if we wanted to, and wooden floorboards with the tiles, but whatever. So it was like I've had these moments in my life where I've manifested something, and then I forget that I have that power within, and then I go through these waves. So I'm in one of those waves at the moment where I'm like, yes, I know I can manifest this stuff. But yeah, can you just talk a bit through manifestation? How can someone really attract what they want in that abundant lifestyle?
Yeah, cool. So, I mean, for me, it's sort of like similar to what I was just saying about use the appreciation, but it's like if you're, for example, like if you're dating and you're trying to meet a partner, for me, it's the same thing. If I go on a date, firstly, the kind of dates I go on now from this higher frequency are very different to the ones that I used to. So that helps, and that all comes back to that inner work. But it's like if I go on a date with a guy and they're not the one for me, I don't walk away from it going, oh my God, another date didn't go well, not the person I wanted, you know, we're not a match, why does this keep happening to me? I literally will look, and my intention before I go is to find like a quality in what I want in a person, in this person, if there's nothing else, and zero in on that, or something about this that I can appreciate. And so it's like, cool, I walk away from it and I'm like, that was amazing, because actually through meeting this person, it clarified for me a little more of what I don't want and a little more of what I do want. And that just helps me narrow down what I'm searching for. And it's the same thing. Like for me, investing in the frequency of what you want. So you want to manifest more money, put a $100 note in your wallet so you can physically see it. And every time you look at it, like have an anchor point. A thank you for the money and the abundance and the upgrades that are coming into my life. Thank you. I'm so abundant. I have a tree downstairs, which is like a money tree. It's a jade tree. And every single time I walk past it on my way out the door in the morning, like whenever I'm coming and going, I touch the tree and I say, thank you so much for the money and the abundance and the upgrades. Now, some people might be like, that's crazy, touching a tree and thinking this is helpful. To me, it's a physical anchor point and reminder. And I constantly am already in gratitude for what's coming into my life. But invest in the frequency. Another example is, like for me, I want to have a house in the country. It's something I've wanted to have for a long time. And so I'll go and rent Airbnbs that look like the place that I want to be in. And I'll go and spend time there. And I'll literally get into the emotion of like, if this was my place and what would I do? And I'd have a garden like that. And I'd change this and I'd do that. And I just spend time in the frequency of the things that I really desire to have. And they expand and they grow. And Yeah. So it's like, tap into the frequency of it. What's the emotion and the feeling that's attached? Like, why do you, most of the time when we're manifesting stuff, it's like, why do you want more money? Because what will it give you? Will it give me a nicer house? And what does a nicer house give you? More freedom, more space, more, you know, enjoyment, and it will make me feel happy. Okay, cool. So how can you tap into that feeling of freedom and joy and happiness now? Because that's how you attract it, become it, and it will like come into your experience so much easier than, you know, the old way that we're used to bringing things into our life.
Yes. Oh, I love that so much. It's very true. It's not really aspiring, because that seems like it's still in the future, but really get into that headspace of like act as now, like things like just put into place. All right, well, I ideally want to have a team, but I don't have the work yet. But I've already spoken to a few people, for example, and said, all right, I want to build up a copywriting team. Will you be part of my copywriting team? And so I have that on standby ready for when things get, you know, really busy. Mm-hmm. Or like getting, you know, looking into an offshore VA for like 20 hours a week, just because I'm like, because this is going to help me take the next step to where I really want to be. I want to live this, you know, have like an employee, my first employee. It's kind of a big step, but it's a step towards where I want to be. And I'm being very grateful for all these connections that come through. And it's, I love when people say, oh, what a coincidence. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, no, it wasn't a coincidence, but I don't often say it out loud unless I know they're a bit more woo-woo. But, you know, I'm like, yes, a coincidence. Oh, yes, lucky, yeah. Lucky with the sales of real estate. So, as you know, I mentioned before, with business, as business owners, quite often it's all busy, busy, busy. I try to personally avoid the word busy, because I say maybe I've got a lot going on, or I don't have the headspace for that right now. I use other words, but, you know, is it possible to be abundant and make lots of money without burning the candle from both ends? Obviously you're doing it. What's the first steps? If someone's working 5 days in their business, how can they start pulling that back and be abundant but work less?
So for me, I feel like it's, and I'm an example, but like there's heaps of people in the world that I know that have digital or online businesses that make millions and they do very little work and everything's automated. So like there's people that take this to a whole other level than I do in terms of the financial aspect. There's so many examples of it in the world. So if you want to find someone that's working like 2 hours a week and earning $1 million a year, you will, because they're out there. So that's the first thing. But for me, what's so important is, because the reason that I do what I do is more about like, this is my joy and my passion. So it never feels like work anyway. But as I say, for me, it's important for me to have huge amounts of time and space of my own, because that's my most abundant lifestyle. It doesn't mean someone else might not want to work 60 hours a week, but still love what they're doing and still have a very abundant life. So it's sort of like defining what it means to you to be abundant and like what your ideal parameters are to create that. But I feel like the first step to changing anything is awareness. So it's really tapping into, okay, how do I, like if I was to work 10 hours a week, like what, how many hours do I want to work? What feels good for me? And like really tune into that, because a lot of people won't want to answer it with the truth, because they won't, we're always like, but how would I do that? So we get in our own way of our own desires, because before we even allow ourselves to tune into what we really want, we're trying to work out how we'll get it, and we give up before we even explore it. So it's like, cool, give yourself permission to sit down and go, okay, how many hours like really feel good in my body? Like, does this feel contracting or does it feel expansive? And so, you know, for me, it's probably like around 10. I don't like between 10 and 20 might be in those periods where I'm busier. That's cool. But beyond that, I'm not really like that. I'm not really interested. So if I would earn more money, I wouldn't do it, because it just doesn't feel good for me. So it's like, what feels really good for me in terms of hours of output? And when I tune into that and I think about working 5 hours a week and earning 200K a year, for example, what beliefs come up for me? Like, what am I really feeling? Am I feeling like fear? That won't happen. Oh, but like, I couldn't really take people's money if I was only you know, working 5 hours a week, a bit of guilt, shame, whatever it is. It's like tuning in, what are these emotions? And then it's like, try and identify where they came from, because they're not yours is the thing. So it might be like, well, my mum would say this, or my dad would say this, or my grandma would say this, or my first boss when I was 15 years old would say this. And it's like, where did I pick up all of these beliefs? And then what would it take? And like, this could be a really good journaling practice, a really powerful journaling practice. What would it take for me to release these distortions and beliefs that I've created or adopted in order to align myself with 5 hour weeks earning 200K a year? That awareness, if you can really become that self-aware around why it is you believe what you believe and what's blocking you from that, from more of a perspective of what you desire, that's the first step. That shifts so many things, because it's really important to understand why we believe what we believe. Like, why do I think it has to be hard? Why do I think it has to take a long time? Why do I think I have to be busy in order to receive the abundance that I desire? And like I say, whatever it is that you want to create, you'll find someone else in the world is already doing it, hands down. So there's already a precedent that someone's doing it. And so all it requires is for you to really, yeah, unpack what's going on in the subconscious realms. And then from there, like for me, manifestation is energetic work. It's never about like the physical realm. It's that what we were just talking about, the conscious creation of a new reality. And so when I talk about that time in my life a few years ago when things weren't going so well, I literally imagined myself with this much time and freedom. And I imagined myself traveling the world, which is what I ended up doing for a year very soon after that. And I imagined myself with, you know, writing and speaking and connecting with people in that way for my work. And that's what I'm now living. And so that conscious creation is super, super important. But you first need to know what it is that you want to create and whatever is blocking you from making that happen.
Yes. And you just reminded me of Christina Carlson, like Kiki K's founder. She's all about dreaming and how as adults, we don't dream, you know, not just the unconscious when you're, you know, overnight, but actually allowing yourself, your imagination run wild and go in a perfect world. Where could I be? What could I be doing? How many hours I'd be working? And straight away I said that, and this little boy said, don't be silly, you know, like you can't work less. And yeah, it's just those stories that you've been told, and how for me, like going into business, I heard, oh, there's business owners, you have to work so hard, be prepared to work nights and weekends. And then I was like, but I don't want that type of business. If that's what it means, well, one of the reasons I had a business was to have flexibility around my family, then I won't have that. And no, that's not what I want. And but I think I would love to ideally, yeah, probably get down to 3 days. I always said I love to work, get full-time income, part-time work. And I think like I've built up to more like full-time work this year, but with hopefully the VA, I can pull back again because a lot of that time is admin. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, because we're making this episode, you know, about working from a true flow state. What does that mean, working in a true flow state? Is that just having less hours and feeling abundant in your time, pure joy when you are working, or working, probably not the right word because it shouldn't feel like work. Mm-hmm. How do you define it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So for me, I'd always thrived on structure, especially when I was in real estate. Organization, control, and structure. That was my pillars of how I worked.
That's me too. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So when I mean, and obviously the business that I'm running now, it's like, you know, it's a lot of feminine work and it's a different thing altogether. But for me, when I feel like the truest version of me, I'm actually working from what I call a flow state, which means that I still have some routines that are like fairly, you know, that do certain things. Like I said, I start my day with like a real intentional start to the day, but it just means that I give myself more room and more space that I work from inspiration. And so this is like, you know, something may pop up where I'm like, oh my God, I've just had an amazing idea for a webinar. I've just had an amazing idea for a post and I'm going to create that now. And I've got the time and space to do it because my day is not jam packed with structure from start to finish. I trust that everything will happen when it's meant to. And so it's that inspiration. And there's days where I'm like, do you know what? Today is not a work day. I had plans to do this. And I'm feeling like my energy is a little bit low And I'm going to give myself permission actually to put it off until tomorrow or next week or whatever, because I trust that that's, and it's really being in tune with your body, with your higher self, and being like, what feels good for me in this moment, and living from that place. And I've found that that has changed my energy levels and my joy and the love I have for my own business and my life exponentially. But you know, we were talking earlier about how we get into autopilot, and Joe Dispenza is one of, like, if you want to kind of bring the scientific element into this, because for so many people, science, if they can look at it from a scientific perspective, it's more digestible and more understandable for them. But I remember listening to something he said a few years ago, where he was talking about, by the time we're 35, our body is so conditioned with our daily routine that our mind is no longer in control and the body takes over. And that's how people shift into autopilot. And unless they consciously start to make a change, like consciously, their body will just run their life for the rest of their days. And I remember hearing that and I was like, I don't want to do that. So cool. The less routine that I have, for me, feels better. I like to change it up. I like to walk different ways to different places and like not be on that autopilot all the time. But yeah, it's the ability to tune into yourself and be like, what, here's my list of things, and like, what is most important right now, or what feels like the thing that I want to do today, and I'm going to use my inspiration and work from that place.
And you're talking to someone who has her Google Calendar all blocked out, color-coded. But look, I'm 35, so for that, I'm like, oh. But no, for me, I've always been, I don't want to have every year looking the same as the last. I've had this, I don't know for how long, but I always try to do something new every single year. So there's always something, like learn a new skill, or obviously this year's been very different. I've done so many different things I've never done before. But I do appreciate that. And I know, well, each day is different in my calendar. However, it's jam-packed. So after listening to you, I think I'm going to go back to my Google Calendar for next week and just really clear some of it. Even if it's just blocking out maybe 4 hours for something, I'd usually only allocate two, just to give myself that headspace, because I know how amazing it feels when, like I was saying before, like if something can't, it gets cancelled and you're like, oh, that was such a relief that that was cancelled. I had like a breather. And so it worked the same way. If I've scheduled 4 hours, it takes me two. It'd be like, oh, I've got 2 hours to breathe, rather than cram into two and then move on to the next thing.
It's like, where does that need to fit into that time frame? Because you're probably working at your maximum capacity the whole time to get it done in that time frame. And it's like, wherever there's potential to expand that out so that you can have like a slower pace, to me, that's bringing more flow into your life. And like I say, different stages, different circumstances, people need to operate differently, and it's not for everyone. And having organization like that, for a lot of people, especially if you've got kids and you've got all these things going on, it gives you some freedom in your own mind, because you know everything's kind of taken care of. But it's just consciously looking at things and being like, how would I feel, like you said, if I expanded that out? And for me, just listening to what you've said, I think a really cool way for you to tap into that frequency of having a team and to anchor that in now to manifest that more quickly would be to go onto like Fiverr or one of those sites, Upwork, and actually just like as a bit of a game and not even from a serious place, be like, what can I outsource to someone on here that's really skilled that I don't want to particularly do? And just like, and by doing that and handing it over and outsourcing it, then like reveling in how good it feels to have done that and how amazing it would feel to have that full time. Like, that's what I would do if I wanted to create that in my business. I would go and test it out and then celebrate how amazing it is and be like, cool, now I want that all of the time. So I'm going to bask in that feeling for a minute every day. Like,
because it could still be another a month before this person or even start interviewing. So it would be good in the meantime for me to get into that headspace. So yes, I like your thinking. I've already written down the task that I would offload and how good that would feel. Just like, imagine if all these podcast episodes were finally uploaded to YouTube. Imagine if my 600 unread emails were all like put into folders. I was like, oh, that would just be amazing. Now, I know we've covered a lot of this, but I do ask all my guests, how do you manage your own health and wellness? Mm-hmm. So we know a little bit with the head, your space in your day and everything like that. What else do you do?
I have really good balance in my life and I do what I want. So I don't have like really strict rules with myself. There's a lot of people in the spiritual community that'll be like, you can't do this and you can't drink and you can't do that. Like for me, it's like, what are the things that I love most? What inspires me? What lights me up? I love having some wines with my girlfriends. I equally like eating really, you know, nourishing food for my body, and I like yin yoga and slow movement, and I love weights at the gym, and I love long walks, and I love to be in nature. Like all of those things raise my vibration, they make me feel good. I used to be someone that got sick a lot, and like you, I used to wait until I was sick to take a break, and I would cycle through burnout. Like my body, there was a period in real estate where I was in hospital every 2 weeks with extreme migraines, and that's the only time that I would stop working. And so now it's like I haven't been sick for a really, really long time. And yeah, I tune into my body. I give it the foods that it wants. I make sure it gets plenty of rest. I do meditation. I drink lots of water. And then I make sure that I'm having lots of fun and nourishing my soul with like fun social experiences, because to me, that's very balanced, and that's what makes me feel good.
Yay. Oh, I love that so much. I've really enjoyed our chat today. Thank you so much. And how can people connect with you?
So how does it work? Can you drop them a link or something?
Yeah, I can put links in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah. So Instagram, Facebook, you can email me. And I've got a YouTube channel as well.
Awesome. I'll put all that in the show notes. And awesome. Well, thank you so much, Katie. I love chatting about this stuff, and I just love how, yeah, just your energy when you talk through it. And I know we could easily talk for another hour at least, but yeah. And I know we'll definitely stay in touch on LinkedIn, and we'll see each other around for sure. So thank you so much. And thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and review via your podcast app or at ratethispodcast.com/marketingandme. If you're interested in connecting, feel free to reach out to me via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you listen to the podcast. And if you want to learn more about generating leads or outsourcing your copywriting to me, head to my website, righttimemarketing.com.au, and book in a free 30-minute discovery call. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.